Hi guys, welcome to episode 2 of the Christ Pilled podcast, and today we're going to be talking about
why every religion is wrong except for Christianity,
why cheating is good sometimes,
and what are the signs of spiritual growth.
So without further ado, let's get into it.
Josh, how's it going, bro?
Good. Got a haircut.
Nice.
And I worked out, so I feel good.
Fresh fade, new faith.
Fresh in faith.
Fresh in faith. Fresh in faith. Yeah, that was a good line.
Such a good line.
So, news. I actually officially have left the nightlife entertainment industry. So I sent a text to one of my clients saying, this weekend's going to be my last time shooting. So I'm officially retiring from nightclubs and nightlife, which is great.
Yeah, how does it feel?
It was scary, not going to lie, to do it. I've always wanted to do it, like, in the past year. But, you know, it's also extra income. That was, like, my reason to keep working there. But today I just decided, you know what? I'm being called by God to do something, and I need to go all in. I can't have one foot in, one foot
out
on my... Yeah, one foot out. Is that one foot in my past life?
Yeah, like one foot in your past life and one foot in one, your
yeah,
future.
Yeah, that's what I meant. One foot in my past life, one foot into where God wants me to go.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, so that was a huge jump for me. And it's really a test of faith. And I'm happy I did it.
What you said you wanted to quit since the past year. Like how?
Yeah.
Like how soon was that?
What do you mean?
Like, over the past year, like last year around this time, or was it like last November? When did that thought start to germinate?
Honestly, I don't even know. I knew it was something that I need to do. I knew that environment was kind of toxic. But, you know, it's an extra income. So
yeah, it's tough to walk away.
Yeah, Toronto's super expensive, dude. Like, and also it was easy money. You know, like I was doing photography for nightclubs and photography and videography. I used to do promoting and photography and videography. I quit promoting, but I was still kind of shooting for nightclubs like once or twice a month. But this time it's like, okay, fully let go. And I feel like it was God talking to me today. Like, hey, like I'm calling you to do something. If you're really serious about this, you're going to drop everything else other than what task I'm giving you. And it felt right.
Today was the day to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. If I wanted to move forward, I'd have to.
Yeah.
In order to open new doors, I'd have to close.
The old ones.
Close the old ones. Yeah.
Now, do you still have a good relationship with... like the nightlife industry guys? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll probably see them this weekend. Still go out one last time. I also go out once in a while just for fun, just yeah. Socialize and stuff. I'm not completely closing my, you know, I'm not completely cutting that off. But because it's not going to be a work thing anymore, I don't have to be there, you know.
Is it kind of like a stress off your shoulders? Like, when you were working there, did it feel like you were working, or was it more like you go there to work a bit and then have fun?
It doesn't feel like work. It feels like fun. That's the crazy thing about nightlife is kind of just show up just to party, you know? That's the danger of it too, though.
Yeah.
It's an environment where it's so easy to sin and do something stupid. But if you're going to put yourself in environments where it's so easy to sin, it's not good as well if you're on this just journey to becoming like Jesus. Discipleship. It doesn't feel right.
Yeah, it's like two separate things.
Yeah.
That don't really go together.
No, it doesn't. But hey, man, a lot of my friends are still in that kind of space. I hope they find their way to Jesus.
Honestly, bro, I was a little bit shocked when you sent that message that you quit. Because I was like, that's money. So we got to make the agency work.
Yeah.
For you to make money.
100%.
Yeah.
In order for us to keep shooting the podcast. But I thought about it, man. It's, you know, I do have doubts that, it's going to be more stressful because there's going to be like less income now. But in my head, it's just, you know, I just got to have more faith. And faith is the currency of heaven. You know?
Which Bible verse is that?
It's not a Bible verse.
Oh.
Okay. It's just, saw it on a quote somewhere. But yeah, man, like if you're ever worried about your finances to do something, it's like, I don't have the finances. Yeah, but do you have faith? God's like talking to you saying, do you trust me? That's literally the voice that's going on in my head. I don't think it's me that's talking. I think it was God talking. I'm like, hey, God, because I talked to him about it. It's like, hey, God, like, should I just quit? And I heard the voice in my head saying, do you trust me? I was like, yeah, okay, let's do it. And then I just felt peace. And I would remember it all the times where I've run into these situations where I didn't know the outcome. I didn't know what the results are going. I didn't know the results of what I'm about to do. And there's a lot of uncertainty. I just needed to trust. And once I did, everything worked out even way better than I expected. And at this point, I can almost predict it. Dude, every time I've quit a job and I was so scared that I'm not getting any money after that, a better opportunity comes. And I'm at a point where, you know what? I'm just going to trust. It's like our job is, you know, not to worry about the results. That is up to God. Our job is to just obey and trust when you're in uncertain situations.
Okay.
When God tells you to do something, don't worry about the results. He'll handle it. You just got to obey and trust.
If you don't obey and trust, what does that mean?
What do you mean? You don't obey and trust?
If he's telling you to obey and trust,
then you're going to be living in worry.
Yeah, because you don't have enough faith.
You don't have enough faith, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's kind of like the thoughts that's going on in my head right now.
Is this sort of bittersweet for you, or is it just like...
No, I'm chill.
All sweet.
I'm super chill. Okay. No worries, bro.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm more worried about the cameras rolling. I have so much faith and trust in God, dude. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, Matt, because you're not really money motivated. You're more passion motivated.
No.
You just said you're more worried about the cameras rolling.
Why would I be motivated by numbers on the screen?
Because a lot of people are.
That's literally all I see, those as numbers on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. I think it goes something like that. But yeah, man. I'm alive, you know.
You're healthy.
I'm alive and healthy. Taken care of, rent's paid, you know? What else can I ask for?
There's like three major areas of life, right? There's like health, wealth, and then relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as those three are taken care of, I think, you know,
Yeah, and who takes care of them? Exactly. So as long as you focus on him, he'll take care of you.
How do you reconcile, like, you know, having faith versus putting in work, like, on your own? Because I think you said before, like, yeah, you're going to have faith, but you're also going to work as hard as you can to make things happen.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Like, what's your whole philosophy on that?
Well, the work is for God, you know? You're doing God's work. It's the more you get into scripture, the more you get into like the Bible and stuff like that, you really try to understand God's nature and what he's trying to accomplish. It's to unite everyone, it's to spread love, to spreading forgiveness and all that positive stuff, right?
What are some examples?
Once you really
stories.
Like, what stories?
Like what stories come to your mind when, you know, when you say that?
Like Bible stories?
Yeah.
I don't know, there's a lot. Jesus' life, bro. Just like the whole thing. You really get to understand like God's nature. And once you understand God's nature, is your purpose comes to you. And you're not now working not for yourself, but to serve God. That becomes your purpose. And that would be the reason for you to work. You know,
so what do you say to anybody like working in a job they don't like right now, or feeling like things aren't going to work out?
I mean, if it's aligned with God's purpose, you will never have trouble with motivation. Though purpose is given to you, it's not something that you choose. The reason why a lot of people are not motivated, it's because you're not doing things that God wants you to do. Simple as that.
You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. And that's what happens when you don't have God in your life, dude.
Did you see that that story of the OnlyFans girl who got baptized?
Yeah, Nala?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that story. I mean, good for her. Yeah. Which kind of crazy, because during my sinful times, like, I used to watch her too.
Oh, really?
I used to like watch her content.
Like her private content, or like?
Yeah, her OnlyFans content.
Yeah, okay.
I wasn't subscribed.
Yeah, obviously.
I have access, you know.
Oh, okay.
Don't worry about it.
I'm not gonna ask.
But yeah, it's nice that people are coming closer to Jesus. It's the truth, man.
Yeah.
That's the thing. In the last episode, or in one of the reels, I mentioned that you just gotta let God just a little bit in your life, and he's gonna just take over.
So, like, to put things into perspective, like, how long have you been celibate for right now?
I honestly don't know. I don't know.
But compared to, like, now versus before, like, can you describe to the extent of how much, like, sex addiction you had?
Well, I don't want to, like, go think about that stuff.
Because I remember you told me,
my ex-girlfriend, like, thought I was a sex addict.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just put it that way. It was not good. It's not good.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So it's basically, it's like night and day.
Hmm?
It's night and day, the transformation you made, kind of thing.
Yeah. Thanks be to God. Yeah. And you see this happen with Nala. You see this happen with so many people around the world that find Jesus, because Jesus saves, you know?
Why do you think it's happening now, though?
It's always been happening, though, I think.
But I feel like right now there's a big, like, shift in popularity.
Popularity?
Like, what do you think? Among people around our age.
Oh, like people getting baptized? It's becoming, like, trendy now. I mean, it's good. People are starting to wake up to the truth, I think. People are tired of being lied to by the media, by Satan, by the devil. People are getting closer to the truth. you know. I think the problem with Christians in the past like few decades is they've been like quiet and silent about their faith. And it's time for Christians to really start to own themselves and own up their faith. And we see this happen with Ryan Garcia, right? Yeah, just who gives a fuck? Sorry to swear, but who gives a fuck? Like, own up to your beliefs. Like, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and he is yours too. Scream it out to the world. Like, don't deny it. Don't hide it. There's nothing shameful about it. If you, like Jesus says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. You know? Like, a lot of people choose themselves, choose the opinions of others over God. And it's embarrassing, dude. You know, just own up to yourself. If you're a Christian, you should be a proud Christian. Just own it. Tell everyone. I think the world lacks people like that. We need more dangerous Christian men that will really own up to their faith.
With tattoos.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily, but like we need more guys who have stronger beliefs in themselves and would tell people that, you know, would tell people, like, we need more Christian guys that would tell people, or women that would tell people that, who are not afraid to tell people they're wrong.
Because I know you're not afraid to tell people they're wrong.
Yeah. Like, a lot of other religions are bullshit. Straight up. A lot of religions are just trust me, bro religions. Christianity is the truth.
So then, like, what do you say to the guys who say that about Christianity? Like, Christianity is a trust me, bro religion.
There's no proof of that. like what? Like, trust me, bro, that Jesus rose from the dead, completely, like, removing all the historical evidence, which is the Bible. It's like trust me, bro, 1 + 1 = 2. It's like, I'm just going to look at you like you're dumb. Yeah. I don't know. That's just me, though.
Did you see the Ryan Garcia fight?
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
What did you think of the whole thing?
He's great, dude. He's a great marketer. Like, from what I've heard, is like he actually planned a lot of like social media.
His antics
and
everything.
Like scandals just to make people think that he's like distracted, but really he was like out there hustling and training. I mean, he did pretty well, dude. Crushed the other guy. Oh yeah.
So Matt, what's your favorite show right now?
Well, it would be the show that I just watched, like The Chosen, story by Jesus.
How many seasons are there?
Have you seen it?
I've seen like a couple episodes, but I haven't finished
nice.
It.
Nice. Well, it's basically pretty much like the Gospel of John, dude. Story of Jesus' life and his disciples. It's great. I think it's really the show that made me get closer to my faith.
Because I watched a couple episodes and it's like they portray the Bible in a way that is not boring, basically.
Oh, it's super cool. Yeah.
It's like it's like Lord of the Rings.
Like
or
Jesus
Assassin's
is super likable. Yeah.
Yeah.
The past Jesus like
films
have been so boring, dude.
Passion of the Christ was pretty good, but
I have to rewatch that. I watched it when I was a kid, but.
There's VeggieTales. You've never watched VeggieTales.
No, man. I'm too old for VeggieTales.
No, like as a kid.
Yeah, I feel like I was too old to watch VeggieTales when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I was watching Barney when I was a kid. 97, baby, bro. Yeah, when was VeggieTales? I feel like that's later, no?
No, dude. VeggieTales was on VHS.
Really?
Yeah.
VeggieTales? I don't know. I didn't. Why would they call it VeggieTales? Do they not know that kids don't like vegetables, bro?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
If it was like chicken nugget tails, like I'd watch that. Or hot dog tails.
Hot dog tails? Everybody's just a hot dog?
Yeah, I'd watch that. Like, I love hot dogs. Why would they call it VeggieTales?
Because the characters are vegetables. There's like a tomato.
Yeah, but kids don't like vegetables.
That's honestly actually such a good point.
I would have.
You watch it as a kid and you're like, I don't like vegetables.
Maybe I would have been
I a already Christian, don't like the dude. Show. Like,
maybe I would have been a better Christian if it was Hot Dog Tales. Because I would have.
Or like Pokemon that. Tales. Imagine like Pokemon, oh. But they're like in Bible stories.
Yeah. Anyways, I actually posted a story asking people what they, if they had any questions for me. Well, let's see if I have any.
Do you have any?
Yeah. Dude, do you have my login for my Instagram?
I don't have, I have IG notifications turned off.
And like, I think all the. Okay, hold on. I think this one. Okay, a couple questions. I'm just going to read this. This question is from IN8_Productions. Has your inner circle changed since you've taken your faith more seriously? 100%. 100%. I didn't necessarily like cut people off, but I've started to see some people less. I'm still friends with them. Still message a lot of them. But because I choose to put myself in new environments, in healthier environments, I've sort of started to distance myself from them, you know. And getting closer to God, it's also a cleansing process. Especially the more you read the Bible, you start to notice things that are things in your life that are not aligned with God's will and God's word. And you sort of start to feel bad, and you just start to change things, man. And it's actually a beautiful experience to have, but not a lot of people are going to be on the same page as you. So it's inevitable that you're going to lose friends. And I'm not scared to lose friends, man. I gain God. I can lose as many friends as I have to, as long as I have God. It's a lot more important to me. What do you think of that question?
It's priorities, right?
Yeah. I mean, has your faith? Sorry, has your inner circle have changed the closer you are? Since you've taken your faith more seriously?
I would say that, but also maybe my goals just change. Like, the more I seek better, the more my goals change where I'm not in certain environments as much anymore.
Yeah.
Or I'm not, yeah.
Motivations change as well. The more you've taken your faith more seriously. Let me find a quote. I found a really good quote about taking your... When you start to get serious about the things of God, those who are not serious are convicted by your seriousness. Instead of allowing themselves to be challenged by you, they become jealous of you. What do you think of that?
They hate us because they ain't us. Basically.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it means. It's
basically the psychology of like...
It's like you see someone that's doing better than you, who's making sacrifices that you're not able to do. Obviously, you're going to feel like bad about yourself.
Yeah,
and
because
I noticed that happened to a lot of my friends, dude.
Yeah, because your actions and your beliefs invalidate their actions and beliefs.
Yeah. A lot of my friends still go out every night partying. Still in that life of lust, sitting constantly.
Do you think you have to go through it though? Just so you know, like it's not.
What do you mean have to go through it?
Like, do you think you have to go through a phase of
no
going through the bad things so that you can appreciate the good things?
Well, it's up to God's will, really, because sometimes God uses your sins for the greater good. You can see this all across the Bible. all across the Bible stories, right? God used. What are some of the stories in the Bible where God uses someone's sin for the greater good? Let me chat you to it. I know there's some stories.
Well, Mary Magdalene was a prostitute, and
she got saved. Actually a prostitute? I don't think
actually
she,
a prostitute.
I'm there's no evidence sure. that she was actually a prostitute, though.
Pretty sure she was.
In the show, she was possessed,
and a prostitute. Pretty sure.
Really?
That's why when the Pharisees were trying to convict Jesus, they're like, this guy is not our king. He's around poor people and prostitutes all day. Why would he be our royalty? That was actually their argument. They were like, how could this guy claiming to be the son of our creator when he's around low status individuals all day? Like, yeah. If you're looking for a story, though, where God was sort of making someone go through hardship.
Yeah.
There is a story of Job. Have you heard of it?
Well, there's a lot. Here, I just chat GPT it.
Okay.
Story of David and Bathsheba. King David sinned by committing adultery with Bathsheba and arranging for her husband, Uriah, to be killed in battle. Despite David's sin, God used the situation to teach David about repentance and forgiveness through the prophet Nathan.
Yeah, so if I actually remember watching a video of that, or even reading that story in the Bible, like in, I think it's in the book of Psalms. So basically, David sees this super like bad like hot woman from his balcony down, and he's like, "Who is that?" It's Bathsheba, because at this point David is king, so he's royalty, he's rich. He sees this woman down there and he's lusting after her. So he goes down there and he sleeps with her. You know, he meets like, hey, I'm David. Nice to meet you. And the next thing you know, one thing leads to another. The whole time Bathsheba is not a single woman. She's married and her husband is fighting in a war that David's army is waging. So, yeah, her husband is fighting for her boss and the boss has slept with her. Like his boss has slept with her.
Yeah.
And afterwards, David felt bad, and he came back to God. But
yeah, so God uses that, you know, our sin to bring us closer to him, right? Crucifixion of Jesus was the result of sinful actions by those who falsely accused him and demanded his death. However, God used Jesus' sacrificial death to redeem humanity and offer forgiveness of sins. That's one.
You know the story of Jacob and the robe, I think? Was it Jacob? Jacob and the colorful robe? Or Abraham? There's a story of Abraham and one of his sons, and he's about to kill him because of God's orders. Let me see if I could find it.
Almost. Here we go again.
Isaac. Yep. There we go.
Here's another story of how God uses your sins for the greater good. Joseph and his brothers sinned by selling Joseph into slavery out of jealousy. However, God used this act to bring Joseph to Egypt, where he eventually rose to power and saved his family during a severe famine.
So right? His family sold him to slavery?
Yeah.
So he went to the kingdom where he was a slave, rose up to king, and then saved the very same family that sold him into slavery.
So that would not have happened if
they didn't sell him.
They didn't sell. They didn't have.
It's a crazy butterfly effect.
Yeah. So you don't really know the the effect of things. That's why I try to be more forgiving to people. Mm-hmm. I don't try to like criticize people right away if you're doing something bad, because God could have a greater plan, you know? I try my best to point them towards the right direction, but ultimately, as Christians, it's not our job to save people. It's our job to point them to the right direction. And yeah, we just got to do our best to be examples.
And honestly, I think the best way to be an example is, you know, you can read the Bible for guidance. You can also listen to your gut, which is basically, you know,
we have to be careful with your you. You have to be careful with your gut, because a lot of our gut is just feelings.
But I feel you can tell the difference, right? Like, there's a difference between acting out of extreme emotion and acting from your gut, which is your conscience. It's a different feeling. It's like a calm.
It's like, how do you determine if it's your gut or God's word?
Yeah.
If it's God's word, it's aligned with scriptures and God's nature. If it's coming from love, forgiveness, bettering humanity, that's God talking to you. That's the gut feeling that you have, and that's God. But if the gut feeling is coming from a place of fear, you know, anything that Satan represents, that's your flesh talking to you. So it's very huge difference. And that's how you figure out the difference. Does that make sense?
It's like, what if the action that comes into your mind aligns with what it says in the Bible?
If it's aligned with God's will.
Automatically, without you checking it first. Then
yeah, and you will feel it. You'll feel like inspired to do it. There's no fear. You'll be like, oh my God, I really need to do this. You know? But if it's coming from a place of fear, then, you know, you're being deceived. It's not your gut. Don't trust your gut in that way. Because, you know.
I think it's good to be impulsive if you're coming from the right place. Because that's what it is, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you're walking down the street, you see someone that needs help, and your gut tells you you should help that person. That's God talking through you, man. That's
I have a really funny story.
What?
But I don't know if it's appropriate to share on the podcast. I think I told Pavi and like maybe two other people.
Okay, sure.
Okay, but it might be a little bit inappropriate for the podcast.
Well, share it appropriately. Like, make a appropriate version.
Okay. So I used to live in Hawaii for like 6 months. When I was there, I met this one girl and we were going out for a little bit. Down. Anyway.
Oh, you heard that?
I heard that. Yeah, your neck cracked. Anyway, like we went out. I think it was the first date. We went all over the island basically. We went to Waikiki, went swimming. I had my uncle's car. Well, his second car. It was a Mazda CX-3. I had it parked on the top, on the second top floor, the second highest floor on one of the malls.
Mm-hmm.
So we went out for the entire day on the beach, had food, came back to the car, and we were about to drive back. But then as we get in the car, I'm like, okay, I'm going to make my move. So I'm I make my move. I'm like, hey, you want to go all the way? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. So I drive from the second highest floor to the top floor of the parking lot / mall building. It's empty. It's mostly empty. There's a few cars, but like we drive into this one parking spot. And then we head from the front seats to the back seat. And, you know, we go all the way. But then I noticed, like, why are you being so hesitant? And I was like, hey, get a towel. I'm like, why? Because it's her first time. So I take her virginity in the top floor of a parking lot in my Mazda CX-3 in Hawaii. It was a red towel. I drive her back home. She keeps the towel because I was like, do you want to keep the towel? She's like, yeah, it's like for my memories. And I'm like, okay. And then I go home. We see each other as long as I'm living in Hawaii. But then I leave Hawaii and I don't really... I haven't been there in a couple of years. I see her a few months later on Instagram, and I haven't talked to her in a while. And I see her getting baptized. Like, she wasn't religious before, and I see her getting baptized afterwards. And she was a good girl. And so, like, my mom always wanted me to be a preacher when I was a kid. I wouldn't consider myself a pastor, but I brought her to Christ.
How did you bring her to Christ?
Bro, she got baptized after I broke up with her, basically.
Oh, because...
I think I caused that. I think you she broke was her sad. Heart. I think so.
How'd you break her heart? It's like dump her?
I just left. Like I was just done with Hawaii, and I was like,
yeah. Do you have like a breakup, or are you just kind of ghosted?
Just kind of ghosted.
But how would you know that's you? What if she had like 3 other guys?
I'm pretty sure it was only me, cause like
pretty sure,
cause she was a good girl, but also like
pretty sure.
I was pretty sure. Even the fact that you brought up, how do you know she doesn't have 3 other guys? That's coming from being in the nightlife scene and meeting the girls that you meet.
No,
in
I'm
the
just being
scene.
Realistic, dude. Sure. Like you're so confident saying that. Oh, that was me bringing her to Christ. What if she ran into a priest, and actually brought her to Christ that way?
That might be true.
Yeah, I mean.
Or maybe that's just my ego talking.
That's definitely your ego talking, bro.
Yeah.
You never know unless she messages you saying that, hey, because you broke my heart, you brought me to Christ.
She did unfollow me after.
My ex-girlfriend broke my heart. That brought me to Christ. And thank God for her doing that. You know? You know what my ex-girlfriend told me that made me break up with her?
What'd she tell you?
I could replace you.
Oh. I heard the same thing too from someone. From
you know how many guys I can get? I can easily replace you. I'm like,
what was
oh
your
my
reaction
God.
To
like
that?
A year and a half of being with this girl, I never heard anything. I would never expect anything come out of their mouth like this. And I'm just like, I have to break up with her, dude. It's almost like I was cornered.
Yeah, bro. I heard the same thing a couple times before, too.
Because what would that make me if I stay in that relationship?
A bitch, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. Like.
So, I mean, it's almost like she did it on purpose. But
100% it was on purpose.
Thank God that happened because it brought me to Christ.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, next.
Thank you, next.
Next phase of my life, which is Jesus. Yeah, dude, I don't know about that story, man. I don't know if we can take any moral Christian story.
Just my ego.
Like, the moral maybe. Story is, bro, like... I don't think I've ever taken someone's virginity, bro.
Really?
I would feel so bad.
Yeah.
Because I'm actually like a kind soul, Josh.
What are you trying to say?
I don't know, dude. Like, you took someone's purity.
Yeah, I did.
You took someone's purity, man.
When you lost your virginity, was it to a virgin?
No. He's asking when I lost my virginity, was it to a virgin? Anyways, I want to change the topic, but yeah, I would. Man, if you're a guy out there, don't take someone's virginity, man. Make sure, you know, I see a lot of guys that take pride in taking someone's virginity. It's not cool. Like, a girl, like, saves herself for, like, a special guy, and you're just going to lie to her? Just so you can tell your buddies that you took someone's virginity? It's not cool, bro.
To be fair, I never lied to her.
Well, not you.
I was like, hey, are you sure? And she's like, yeah. I'm like...
Maybe some girls are just, you know, just wants to do it, but you should have, man, you should have. I wouldn't do it for sure if that was me. Yeah. I'd be like, if I hear someone's a virgin, I'll be like, good, stay a virgin. Wait for the perfect guy. I literally told that to one of my female friends who's a virgin right now. By the way, she's a smoking hot blonde. I think I showed you.
I think you did show me.
Yeah. She's 10, right? and she told me she's a virgin, right? We kissed one time, like a couple years ago. But yeah, I told her you should stay a virgin. Like, that's great. She told me the reason why she's a virgin was she promised God when she was a little girl that she's going to save herself for the perfect guy. She said that in prayer. And, you know.
It's very impressive, actually.
by her breaking that promise, it breaks God's heart.
She would be cheating on God.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about Diddy and getting his house getting raided?
Do you know anything about Diddy getting his house raided? I don't know anything about that, dude. Well, you need a mic, bro.
The allegations was that in every room of his house, for every single party that he hosted, there would be people in each rooms, you know, doing whatever they do. And he would film everything from them being clothed to not being clothed and use that as blackmail. Yeah. Like Prince Harry, all these different A-list celebrities, royalties, and so many different people were like caught up in this scandal. And when it got, when it came to light, his house got raided. And the claims are that he's been molesting young boys. And like, yeah, that he is, yeah.
Did he's molesting young boys?
There are a little bit of evidence, but not enough to convict him at the moment. He left the country, actually. Oh. And now he just got back.
I don't know. You'll never know. You'll never know, really, what happened. But, yeah, there's pretty messed up people out there, bro. In the world, there's a lot of, like, messed up people, but there's also really good people.
And there's a lot of people in between.
Yeah. You just gotta make more good people than bad, because evil will always exist. You just gotta make more good people.
Like Ryan Garcia is, he's fighting against human trafficking, because there's I want to say almost half a million kids that just disappeared. They didn't fight, like it wasn't bodies or anything like that. They just disappeared from the border, right? So there are a lot of child trafficking that's happening in America. Mm-hmm. And since that Diddy's story came to light, Ryan Garcia has been more vocal about him standing against human trafficking.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about Garcia genuinely fooling the media?
Fooling the media? And I think it's genius, man. It's marketing genius.
$2 million.
Ryan Garcia is a marketing genius.
Did you see the memes of him comparing him to Devin Haney? So the meme is like Devin Haney's locker room is him training, like getting locked in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Ryan Garcia, it's a meme. He's on the other side. It's like alcohol and Jesus. And he won.
We have some questions. My husband hit me for the first time last week. Should I get a divorce? This is Luis, by the way. Real Luis Mercado, just asking a hypothetical situation. What do you guys think? My Christian answer is don't get a divorce, because it is considered adultery in the eyes of God, so don't do it.
So basically, if you get a divorce and you remarry, I think like if you get a divorce just by itself, is that okay? Or like,
no.
It's not okay, but it's even worse if you remarry, because then you're committing adultery twice.
Yeah.
Right?
Just stick to your partner.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Figure it out. Live separate. Or I don't know. I don't really know. I'm not a divorce expert. Like, get a therapist. Put your husband in a mental institution. I don't know.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we're still
like, put him in jail.
So
just don't divorce him. Like I mean, if he hit you, just
hit him back. Just
kidding. No. Turn the other cheek.
Turn the other cheek. I'm kidding.
Yeah, turn the other cheek.
Yeah.
But that is my Christian answer. I cheated on my wife. I still love her. How do I fix things?
I think so you're qualified to answer this.
I'm very qualified because not on my wife. You need to go to confession, bro. You need to go to confession. I think you need to apologize in front of God that you messed up. And if you still love your wife, definitely try to make it up to her. And genuinely repent. Like, change your mind about cheating. You should really feel disgusted about your past actions. And confession. Confession will do it. And how do you fix things? Man, I don't know. Like, with my ex, I brought her dog. So, I think that kind of pretty much, like, did a lot of the work. Whatever your,
it's like a constant reminder.
Whatever your wife likes. I mean, you guys are already married, so she's not going anywhere. Just gotta like spend the rest of your life making it up to her. You know, take her on a vacation. As many vacations as you want, depends on how much you love her, right? And pray to God about it. Ask God for help.
What's the right vacation? What's the right vacation?
Right vacation? I don't know. Whatever vacation she likes.
Vacation.
How do you think forgives us for everything we've done? You can tell it's from an atheist asking this question. Do you think God forgives us for everything we've done? Yes, Luis. That's the whole point of Christianity. That's why Jesus came down. Right? Yes, God will always forgive you as long as you ask for forgiveness and forgive others as you want to be forgiven. Is that right?
That sounds like the golden rule, which is treat others how you want to be treated.
Yeah, if you want to be forgiven, you got to also forgive others. It goes both ways.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. Man. You guys feel Holy Spirit in the air right now or what?
Feel something in the air.
It's a quote by Jesus. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service. Fit for service in the kingdom of God.
You know what that means?
Yeah.
That means if you find the kingdom of God, but then you go back to your old ways, even for just a bit, you messed up. And you messed up in the long term.
I don't think that means it. It said that if you're trying to get to the kingdom of God, you have to fully commit and not look back.
Yeah. Like, so for the guy who does look back, like,
yeah, you're not fit. Yeah, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. You got to go all in.
Yeah.
That's what being a follower of Jesus is. You got to go all in. You can't be like, kind of follow Jesus sometimes, you know, you got to go all in. All in being Christian, dude. Follow Jesus, follow God.
So Matt, if you were to go anywhere in the world, where do you think you would find like your Christian wife, your perfect Christian wife or girlfriend? Because I remember before in the past you told me if you want to find like the right girl for you, you got to write it down. That's how you found your last girlfriend. So what does the version 2.0 look like right now?
Version 2.0.
Thank you. Next.
Like where?
Because if I was you, because I lived in the States for a while, bro, Texas, Nashville, Arizona.
I don't know about American girls, though. I find their voices annoying.
Philippines.
I don't know if I want to go to the Philippines for that.
Poland.
I really don't know, man. I haven't thought about it. And the reason why I haven't thought about it because I maybe do not think it's beneficial for me to be with someone right now.
At this stage in your life?
Yeah, no. Just we're in the single vibes right now. Yeah. I made room for Jesus, dude. No room for a girlfriend. You only have room for Jesus.
So how's your relationship with your parents gotten better? Since,
yeah, it's chill. My relationship with my parents, pretty chill. They watch the podcast. They send it to all the Titos and Titas.
What did they say about the name of episode one? It's actually a sick name.
No, they like it. They like it.
Player.
My dad said it's too long.
Really?
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, let's get some topics rolling. I'm looking at some notes because all throughout the week I watch these.
You watch a lot of content.
I watch a lot of like evangelists and preachers on YouTube. Some of them are great, dude. There's a guy named David Diga Hernandez. He is a preacher that preaches a lot about the Holy Spirit and how it works.
Okay.
He's like a Holy Spirit specialist, and it's great, super motivational. And yeah, it's just like with anything, right? Just like with any skill, you got to go to someone who's better than you in the field in order to get better, right? Since I'm a baby Christian, I want to learn from someone who's better. I can't be constantly hanging around with other baby Christians. I have to hang out with the adults, the guys who have been deep in the faith, 20, 30 years in the faith. And then through osmosis, I can just, you know, learn from them. It was just...
Yeah, it's like Naruto. You're like, yeah. Can't be around the other
Yeah, genes. Like, you know, finding mentors, finding a faith mentor. Everyone needs a faith mentor, man, whether it's your own pastors. Ideally, you'd want to be with someone who has gone through the same path as you, you know?
Because then you can relate to them. And they can tell you they have struggles similar to yours, right? What do you think of... you know who Joel Osteen is?
No.
Okay. He's like this really rich preacher who flies private jets and stuff. Mm-hmm. And people accuse him of being predatory, like just using the Christian faith as marketing, and they make money. And then like, yeah.
Wait, who said that?
So Joel Osteen is this preacher, and he's super rich. But a lot of people accuse him of being predatory because he uses like his performances and like him being in the church to make lots and lots of money,
mm-hmm.
which he doesn't give away to charity. Like
he just keeps it all to himself.
Exactly. It's like he's using Christ and Christian faith as a way to aggrandize himself.
Are people like donating to him and stuff?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's crazy.
I think he sells courses maybe.
Yeah, I mean... Teach your own. People have different intentions. But recently I've learned that the word of God is the word of God. It doesn't matter who's preaching it. It will still have the same effect.
Okay.
So you can take the worst person in the world, a person that doesn't even believe in the word of God, and he preaches it. The word of God is so powerful that it will still work and touch people's lives. That's how powerful scripture is in the Bible. It doesn't matter who the person is. You can ignore the messenger. Just focus on the word. And let God's going to take care of whoever the person is, if they have ill intent towards it. Because gospel is the gospel, bro. Whoever, it doesn't matter who's preaching it. You think about it that way, it's like, oh, whatever, okay, he's taking all the money for himself, but he's still doing, you know, more than other people. He's still doing a lot more than the average person. So, well, it's an interesting thing I learned from one of the speeches. So basically, imagine Jesus and God as the light, right?
Okay.
So Jesus is light, and we're all just mirrors. The moment we turn away from the light, from Jesus, we stop reflecting it. But the moment we face Jesus, that's when we start reflecting the light. And the light will just shine through you. So how do you become the light in people's lives? How do you become the light in people's lives is when you face Jesus and that light gets reflected on you.
But when you turn away, you have no light.
You have no light. You're just darkness. So just an interesting metaphor. If you want to look like Jesus, face him. If you want to act like Jesus, you just got to face him. Think like Jesus. If you want to think like Jesus, just face him.
Basically, in every situation, just ask, what would Jesus do?
No, you just focus on Jesus. You don't even have to ask, what would Jesus do? Because you're still like operating from the level of the mind. But Actually, come think about it, yeah, what would Jesus do? But I don't like thinking about it that way. I just focus on the love that Jesus represents. And everything just will come naturally. Everything will just like autocorrect. Your actions will just autocorrect automatically once you start focusing and paying attention to Jesus. Because Jesus will act through you in that moment. The Holy Spirit will act through you.
How would you bring up God to an atheist person?
How would I bring up God to someone who's atheist? I don't know. Like, I wouldn't. I don't know. Like, why would I want to bring it up? Like, they're atheists.
If they were your friends and, you know, you wanted to try and help them.
I know. It's like talking to an atheist. It's like seeing someone's house that's burning and they're like not doing anything about it. It's like, hey bro, here's a fire extinguisher. It's here if you want it. But they're like, no, that's not real. You sure? It is pretty real. It worked on my house. You're like, yeah, but I did my research, there's history and stuff, and you know, I heard that company's corrupted. All right, whatever, bro. It's here if you want it.
That was actually a great analogy.
Yeah.
That's actually a great analogy.
Oh, dude. It's here if you want it.
Do you have any like spiritual mentors you look up to right now? Like role models?
Be my dad. Yeah, my dad. My dad's very spiritual. Very connected to God.
What's your dad's story? What was it like growing up with him? Like, was he always spiritual or?
Yeah, my whole family. I mean, Filipinos, man. We're all super spiritual. So yeah, like I said, even like coming back to faith, it doesn't even feel like I'm coming. No, I'm converting. It feels like I'm just coming back to my original. You know, it's like coming home. Because mm-hmm. people in Canada are not very like religious.
Majority of people.
Yeah, and even the religious ones, they're not even like close to the standard that we set for ourselves in the Philippines. No. So, yeah.
It is what it is.
It is what it is, yeah. But anyways.
You know where we should go? Europe, actually. Because Philippines was a Spanish colony, so like Spain is probably...
I've been in Spain.
Really?
Yeah.
How is it?
I'd probably find a wife in like Europe nice. More than anywhere. Yeah. Yeah.
Why did you go to Spain?
Why did I go to Spain? I was working for a company that was in the state, in Europe.
Okay, nice. The same company that took you to Ukraine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was working for a YouTube channel.
Nice.
Wait, you've watched a couple episodes of The Chosen?
Yeah.
What are your biggest takeaways?
I watched the one with my mom about King Nebuchadnezzar. Have you seen that one?
Nebuchadnezzar.
So if you don't know who King Nebuchadnezzar...
Wait, that's in The Chosen?
I'm pretty sure.
Are you sure it's the right show?
Or it was another Christian show. Anyway, it's in the Bible, okay? It's the story of King Nebuchadnezzar. He's the king who Jesus turned into a wild animal.
Wait, Jesus turned him into a wild
animal? Sorry, not Jesus, but God turned him into a wild animal. It's the Old Testament, yeah.
I gotcha.
Because, yeah, that stuff doesn't really happen in the New Testament, but it does in the Old Testament. So God turned him... I think like he messed up somehow, so he got turned into a wild animal. So he roamed the Middle East for like 70 years in that state until he got turned back. But yeah. It's an example of discipline.
Cool.
What's your favorite Old Testament story?
It would have to be... I mean, I like Moses' story. The burning bush story is pretty cool.
Pretty good story.
I also like, you know, Joseph getting kidnapped. That's pretty cool.
He got kidnapped?
By his brothers.
Oh.
Or he sold to slavery. Yeah, kidnapped, got sold to slavery. And, I mean, I like story of Solomon. You know?
Do you know the story of Samson and his hair?
Yeah, he's the strong guy, right? And then he lost his power when his hair got cut by this chick.
Yeah.
The moral story is like, don't trust women.
That could be the moral of the story.
That's not the moral story? I watched a full movie. That was like the moral story I got out of it.
I wouldn't. It's more like.
What is the moral story?
The moral of the story
I
is
sound
like.
Stupid now.
His hair got cut by the girl that he liked, but the girl was actually evil. So, like.
Yeah. Don't trust women.
Yeah, okay.
Who are not aligned with God's will, who are not in touch with their faith.
Don't give in to lust. That's the moral of the story. There you go.
Yeah, but if he wasn't married to the girl, right?
No, they were just okay, that makes smashing, sense. Yeah.
No, I'm joking when I said don't trust women. I just wanted to. But, you know, again, don't trust yourself around women as well. When your desires for them are fueled by lust, it's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, make sure the girl is a woman of God. And because here's something I've learned recently. If a girl is scared to break God's heart, you'll never have to worry about her breaking yours.
That's bars.
Because, yeah, as simple as that, man. You got to pick a girl who fears God. You got to pick a girl who has love for Jesus. And, yeah, simple as that. I don't know what else to say.
Everything's really simple when you actually think about it, like,
yeah.
The answer is always the same answer.
She'll never hurt you, man.
What did you think about Mo's fight on Sunday night at Rebel?
Oh, Mo, our buddy? So one of our clients is a professional boxer. He's a pretty much the top boxer in Canada. Almost there. I think almost there. He is number one? Yeah, he's the number one. And yeah, he won a fight against a fighter in
South Korea,
number one fighter in South Korea, which is great. It was easy work for him, dude. Fourth round knockout, and
you guys were filming up close and personal.
Yeah. So for new viewers watching this, I do own a film company. This is our team, and we have boxers as clients, and Mo is one of them. Was also a friend of ours. And yeah, we went to a fight. It was awesome. I love boxing, dude. I box on the side as well.
What do you think of Manny Pacquiao?
He's great. Yeah. I think he's Filipino, so pretty biased. But I think he's a great fighter. One of the best of all time. And he's really one of the first like few people who really own up to their faith. You know, before and after the fight, God comes first for Manny Pacquiao. Not the fans even. Just show up in the ring. You see him kneeling down, doing the sign of the cross, praying.
Yeah, the first time.
Before fighting. And even after he wins, most boxers, they jump on the ropes and like...
Wild out.
Yeah. First thing that Manny Pacquiao does is go to the side of the ring, thank God for his win, and then he celebrates. That says a lot,
Very classy.
Yeah. But that's, I feel like that's a lot of Filipinos, you know. That's
oh, yeah, 100%.
Proud of being Filipino, man. Very close to, we're very close to God. And, you know.
Thoughts on Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson?
I didn't see the fight.
No, it's coming up.
Oh, it's what coming are your up? Thoughts? I don't know. I think Mike Tyson is like, they're both heavyweight now, right?
No, Mike Tyson's heavier.
Heavier? Oh, wow. I don't know. I think Mike Tyson will beat him up straight up. I think Mike Tyson will.
The only thing he has on him is age, but to Mike Tyson, it doesn't matter. Iron Mike Tyson.
It's Iron Mike Tyson. Yeah, and it's years of experience. I mean, yeah, age really isn't really a thing in boxing because you look at Mayweather, right?
But his style is not very taxing either. Like, the reason why he's able to fight when he's older is because he's not, like, super explosive or super KO power.
I don't know. Honestly, we'll have to see. But Jake has gotten really good as well, you know.
Do you like the Paul brothers? Or
yeah, they're pretty cool.
Logan too?
I'm not like a huge, huge fan. I like their work ethic. I think it's crazy that Logan Paul did 365 vlogs in a year. That's insane, dude. I'm as a video editor and a filmmaker, that's pretty crazy.
But Logan doesn't believe in Christianity. Like, he made fun of George Janko for it.
He mocks Christianity.
What do you say about the guy?
Did he actually like mock Christianity?
Yeah.
Yeah, he mocks like Christianity. He's
what is he?
He's like atheist.
He's an atheist.
In his own beliefs, he's atheist. But more times than not, you would see him mock God than praise God.
So, man, what do you have to say about the guys who like have a lot of success, but they don't credit God? Like, there's a lot of guys who do have worldly success and they give glory to God, but then there's a lot of guys who are atheists and just like, yo.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I just feel bad. You just have more toys. That's it. This is literally how I say it. If you have more success, you just have more toys. It doesn't make you a better human, bro. You know? Like, in fact, you know, it's harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Wait, what is the exact quote?
The exact quote is, it is harder for a rich man to enter... It's harder for a rich man... to enter heaven. No, it is easier for a rich man. No, it is easier for like I'm getting it. It is easier for a dragon to fly through the eye of an eagle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven or something like that. I'm pretty close.
Even if you were wrong, that sounded nice.
It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of God. A dragon?
I was pretty close, bro.
Pretty close, yeah. Dragon is in the same.
Like, I got the idea, right?
It's just in the same, like, you know, species, like mammal species. Actually, no, not
dragon
even.
Is a mammal. Dragon's a mammal.
Really?
Yeah, they're warm blood.
It's not.
It's not, dude.
Reptiles. Oh, so yeah, they're it's reptiles. A reptile.
It's like close enough, though. You guys
it's
are
an animal,
close.
Whatever. I got two animals.
So yeah, then a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Yeah, so I pay no attention. I'm definitely one of those people who aren't really impressed by like worldly things. So good for him, you know. I'd be more impressed if someone has a success in their spiritual life.
What are the signs of that?
That's way harder.
Yeah.
Spiritual success is way harder than material success. If you don't have spiritual success, you have nothing. I'm sorry. Doesn't matter how many zeros you have in your bank account. You have nothing if you don't have God. Straight up.
Like, cause
it does not impress me.
How many guys have you seen, like super rich guys? Because you used to work a lot with very, very high net worth clients, right? How many of them do you see?
Yeah, a lot of my friends have like Lambos and stuff, right?
Yeah. And how they feel?
I don't judge because they're my friends. But for people that are not my friends and they have that stuff and they flex that stuff, like it doesn't impress me. It doesn't impress God either. It does not impress God either. He's just looking at you, be like, really? You think you're going to take that in heaven?
You think that's getting into heaven?
Like, there's no room for heaven for your Lambos, bro.
Room for the lambs, not the Lambos. It's exactly. Lambs, not Lambos.
There's no room for that. So, yeah, man. That's why the Bible verse of today is... I don't know if you guys watch my story. I post Bible verses of the day. Let's see this. Wait, no, that was yesterday. It's something that goes the lines of, do not concern yourself. Set your... Okay, this is Colossians 3:2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. That's really the vibe these days, man.
That's fasting too, actually. Like when you're in a fasted state, you're fasting for over 24 hours.
Yeah.
That's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to set your eye.
Yeah, because you deny anything that is in this world. Yeah. Come on.
Like, what are the signs of spiritual success? I think it says somewhere in the Bible.
I think so, yeah. What are the signs of spiritual success is... You'll feel it, man. You'll feel it off people. You'll feel like your life is getting cleaned up. You just get aligned. You have more blessings. Life just becomes easier. There's less friction. There's less feeling of like you're forcing things. And it's more of your life. It just gets aligned with God's will. And people feel it. I think one sign is like people like you and stuff. Not like you in like a worldly way, but
just
support what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know,
you just feel attracted towards you, your cause. Yeah. Not in a romantic way, but just like, I like this person.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw it on a speech somewhere today, is that someone that is doing the will of God is not cancelable.
Pavi, what do you have to say?
From the internet or from what?
From a speech on the internet, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wait, from what?
I was so confused. I thought you meant by life. I'm like...
My life?
No, but by life, like in general in life. Get canceled from life type.
You know, get canceled on the internet.
Okay.
But you can get shadow banned.
That is true. That happens to us on TikTok. Because
our TikTok got shadow banned and we're starting a new TikTok.
But I have one last question for you.
Yeah.
So what do you say to people like... Not say to them, but what are your thoughts on people like Andrew Tate, Sneeko, and them going from Christianity?
They're lost. Andrew Tate, Sneeko are lost, bro. They're going to a trust me, bro religion. They're lost. Straight up. I feel like they're not even doing it for a good reason. Like, you can feel it. Like, and you really study, like, Andrew's, like, motivations. He's not a man of God. He's a man of this world. Like, look at his goals. More money, more women, like fame, success. What is that? That's not of God. That's of this world, man. You're literally, you're following, you're literally just like jumping into like Satan's temptations. Like, those are what those guys are doing, man. Just keeping it real, man.
I think you
and the fact that I just said no one can cancel you if you're a man of God and it's God's calling and you're doing something that's aligned with in God's will. I mean, look how often these guys get canceled, bro. That says a lot.
The Matrix is attacking, or maybe it's just
the Matrix is attacking.
Maybe it's just
Matrix.
You attract what you put out, right?
Yeah, no, I think people are just tired of like the wrong message being passed around.
Did you hear about the Pope that got stabbed? So he's a very popular YouTuber as well. He's a motivational speaker, but he's very religiously in his speech. But some guy ran up on stage as he was doing a speech and stabbed him. And there's no, like, you won't find the videos on online anymore. They took it down. Maybe on Twitter you might be able to find it. But
it was a preacher that got stabbed.
Yeah. So, and Andrew's reaction was, finally, people of Christian faith have something to be mad against, and they're going to do something about it. Finally. Saying, implying that Christians are very pushover in their belief and aren't strong in their belief. And that's why he kind of switched to, you know?
That's why he switched to Islam?
Well, that was...
That's the reason why you go for a false religion? Like, straight
up? It was a bandwagon effect.
Basically. Like, seriously.
Sneeko, yes, a bandwagon. He saw Andrew do it and then hopped on his dick. Pause, sorry. But, you know what I mean?
I mean, I'm just keeping it real, man. Like, the again, the, that's really the reason. And it's not that... I mean, there's Muslim pushovers too, bro. What, you think, like, every Muslim person is going to be as devoted as, like, they say they are?
I've had friends that are Muslim that ate through Ramadan, ate pork.
Yeah, exactly. One of my buddies when I was younger was Muslim. I'm still friends with him. Like, I saw him eat bacon, bro. And he's like, this is so good. I know I'm cheating, but this is so good. You know what I mean? Like, it's in every religion, respectfully. But, like...
See, I can't say anything. I'm not supposed to eat... When I was younger, I wasn't supposed to eat cows, and I did. Right? Like, beef, you're not supposed to eat beef as a Hindu person, and I used to do it, so... I have no leave. I can't judge. But one last question. What are your thoughts on Tristan Tate? And he's very strong into Christianity, and his beliefs on Christianity are very strong. And he spoke up against the stabbing and has claimed that people have been pissed off for 15 years almost now, 20 years, from everything that's happening in social media, the rainbow being used as a pride flag, and the upside-down cross being demonetized. I mean...
Normalized
and being vilified instead of being a holy symbol, because the upside down cross was never
a demonic
symbol, right? But
St. Peter's cross.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on Tristan?
I mean, if it's belief? He's for Jesus Christ, then he's for the right person, man. You know, he's for the right person.
Matt, I think you invented a new term, a trust me bro religion.
I saw that on a comment. I saw that on a YouTube comment, trust me bro religion. Because I was genuinely interested about like what... interested about researching other religions. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like that was the biggest thing about like other religions.
So, I mean, like there's the Bible, but then what do you say to, you know, to people in Islam who like have the Quran, like, they would say, yeah, like, that's our Bible. Like,
you know what I found out is that in the Quran, it says that the Bible is the truth.
Really?
In the Quran, it says the Bible is the truth. You should follow what the Bible says. Because it's written after the Bible, right? And then it's very contradicting, you know? But in the Bible, it says that Jesus rose from the dead, and they don't believe that. They'd rather believe this guy who... live 500 years later.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, man. It's kind of, trust me, bro. Yeah. Anything else that we can talk about? Yeah.
Yeah.
How long have we been going on?
Like
we can just like pick one Bible verse and let's wrap it up.
Yeah,
it's gonna be long. Josh, you can have one, and I'll have one.
So my quote is from Proverbs, book 4, verse 14. So it says, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it, do not go on it, turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble.
What does that mean? How can it relate to your life?
So I remember like being in states, mind states, where I do relate to that, where it's like you want to hurt somebody. You want to do something bad. I don't know why, but it's just you get satisfaction from it. And so like when you're in that state, like you can't go to sleep without negative thoughts, whether it's about yourself or to other people. And so you're almost driven to do evil. And so when you exit out of that state, like it's just way better because like your mindset is way better. You're literally doing work of the devil. And yeah, it's just so not a good mind state to be in.
Mm-hmm.
It's like momentum. Like the more you enter that mind state, the more it feeds onto itself. You're like that, the Ouroboros, like a dragon eating itself. You're hurting yourself and you're hurting other people, but this keeps going.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's me.
That's interesting. My quote is...
Oh, also, so the last part is really important too. So they do not know over what they stumble. So when you're in that state of just like sinning and like wanting to sin, you feel unease and you try to fix your life in other ways, but you don't know what it is that's holding you back. Your self-awareness is blocked because of your desire to sin.
How do you fix that?
You fix that by giving up sin and coming to Christ. Like every time I was in that state, whether it was depressive or like violent, like it's the best way to fix it was honestly just going to church. Like there were times, the most emotional times ever I experienced church was during those times where I needed it most. Like I would tear up and stuff. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually have a quote that's somewhat related to that. So this is Corinthians 10 and 12. 1 Corinthians. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. This verse serves as a reminder for believers to remain humble and vigilant in their faith, recognizing their vulnerability to temptation and sin. Even when they feel secure in their spiritual standing, it emphasizes the importance of self-awareness and dependence on God's strength to resist temptation and remain steadfast in faith. So yeah, we're always going to be tempted. Even God was tempted when he came down on earth, right? So no matter how strong your faith is, we're going to run into the temptation, you know, that Transformers moment, you know, so we'll definitely like run to those, but you just got to focus on Jesus, man. Keep your eyes on me and just, you know, you get more of what you focus on.
All of those old sayings that you hear growing up, all the cliche sayings, they're pretty much true. Like, keep your eye on the prize.
Yeah.
Treat people as you want to be treated. Everything that you thought was like cringe or like, I don't know, like cliche growing up.
Just keep your eye on Jesus, man.
Just hang in there.
That's the easiest way. I mean, he gave us salvation, so it's pretty simple. It's kind of cool. Like, as soon as you start thinking about Jesus, you like lose the desire to sin. Have you thought about that?
Yeah, the times in my life where I was praying consistently, you don't entertain negative thinking. And yeah, you just live way better.
Yeah, man. It's good. Anyways.
Thanks again for watching episode 2 of the Christ Pilled Podcast. You can catch us on Apple Music, Spotify, and follow us on all our socials, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. That's Christ Pilled Pod. And we'll see you next time.